Amy, we've got a bunch of little nieces and nephews between us, but we've also got a catch-all gift that all of our siblings love for their newborns.
You're totally right, and it's Pampers Swaddlers, because Pampers Swaddlers wick wetness away to keep babies drier and subsequently parents happier.
Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better versus the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex.
Now you can try Swaddlers with new Pampers-free and gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes won't tear. In fact, they grip mess, shall we say, more firmly and clean better, leaving baby skin dry, soft, and smooth.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician-recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value.
Don't ever talk to my husband because his only solution is turn it off and turn it back on. And I'm going to say it works 60% of the time.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
Unbelievable deal. These flip-flops are $9.99. It's like, well, they never should have been $14.99. They were always going to be $9.99.
With Margaret Abels.
And Amy Wilson.
There is no science at all to the weight line.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to.
See, Disney really did us wrong by getting the song Let It Go stuck in all our heads for a full decade. Hey, everybody. Welcome to What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret. And today, friends, we are talking about low stakes conspiracy theories. I'm laughing already.
Super low. The example that I came up with when I put this in our Facebook group for post was that the closed door button on the elevators doesn't actually work. Like, you can press it, but it's useless. It's just there to make you feel like you're making something happen.
Absolutely, I believe that to be true. Yeah. I think I am a person who tends towards not really conspiracy theories, but like ghost in the machine, we call it. Like, there's a reason why this thing is happening, and it's because my computer is eating my something. You know what I mean? My computer is eating my podcast downloads or whatever it happens to be. Like, I think that the machines are after me.
Okay.
And yeah, the door closed button does not do anything.
What about the cross street, the like pedestrian button?
I would say 90% of them do nothing. The only ones that probably do anything are the ones where no one ever crosses there. But if people cross there regularly, it doesn't do anything.
Like, of course, like even if any of them ever work with everybody going like ding, 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 and pushing it 100 times, like you've broken it. So thanks. Now it doesn't work for the rest of us.
I was once late for, I think, a job interview in New York City. Go to this like old building, run in, and like I'm nervous for my job interview. So I'm hitting the button like, come on, come on, come on. Right. And then 5 seconds later, it's not there. So I'm like, come on, come on, come on. And I must have hit it 175,000 times to try to make myself feel better that I was late. And then it opens and there was an elevator operator and I was buzzing in his ear 175 times. And he read me the riot act. He was so mad at me. And I thought, is it really up to me to know that there's still elevator operators
right,
in Manhattan?
Right.
Like, this was probably 25 years ago, but
no, there's still some. Yeah.
Let me tell you, I didn't get the job. I think I might have just run away and crying and given up on the job because the guy was so mad at me.
So look, sometimes there are good reasons these things might be happening, but we're more interested in the conspiracy version. All right. Like, this first example we have is the perfect example of this. There might be a good reason and we only want to have the conspiracy theory version.
Yeah. Please don't write in and be like, actually.
Yeah, this isn't actually. So Emily came in and said her low stakes conspiracy theory is that the McDonald's ice cream machines are not actually always broken, quote unquote, always broken.
They just don't want to make you. I mean, I definitely waited a lot of tables where my cappuccino machine was broken because if I was slammed in my station, I'm not making a cappuccino. It's not happening.
That's Emily's belief. Heather came in and said, actually, that is due to the monopoly of the error-prone, hard-to-get-a-repair-person for Taylor ice cream model that McDonald's uses in its stores. And Emily was like, the conspiracy theory is that workers just say that to avoid making ice cream cones and shakes. I think Heather's probably right, and so is Emily. They're both right.
Certainly possible. As one of my young children was, I'm going to say, addicted to, just extremely invested in. I'm going to admit that we go to McDonald's on Friday nights, as we did growing up in my family. Friday night, McDonald's night.
We know that. You've told us that. Yeah, you like McDonald's.
People have since been really like, not people on the podcast, but people in my life are like, you go to McDonald's once a week? And I'm like, that doesn't seem that abnormal to me, but apparently it is. But we do. We go every week. And one of my kids was, the highlight of their week was the vanilla milkshake that went with the Happy Meal. And I lived and died by whether or not the ice cream machine was broken. And let me tell you, when it's broken for a month.
Right. I mean, then Heather's right. There's a guy with a thing and a part and, you know, and but still, they don't feel like doing it.
There is some sort of, if you Google this, there is definitely a reason why McDonald's sourced their ice cream machines from like one guy, and now the guy can't keep up with all the machine, whatever it is. I don't know what it is, so that's not true, but
I'll watch that documentary when it comes out.
I mean, there's going to soon be a 12-part investigative podcast about McDonald's ice cream machines.
Here's a good one. Ashley says, I am convinced that resetting the Wi-Fi router does nothing.
Well, let me tell you, Ashley, don't ever talk to my husband, because his only solution is turn it off and turn it back on. And I'm going to say it works 60% of the time.
I was going to say it works sometimes. It definitely works sometimes.
Yeah. Turn it off and turn it back on. He's an engineer and that's it. I mean,
it's not just turning it off. It's the unplugging.
Unplugging.
Right. Like, I've even seen that meme. Like, are you having a bad day? Don't forget to unplug yourself. And then, you know, how long has it been since you, or it's like powering down the computer. I never power down my Mac. I put it to sleep, but I don't power it down until it starts to glitch.
No, you have to power it. They told me that at the Mac store. You have to, but maybe it's a conspiracy. But I do use your, you talked a while back on the podcast about your metaphor of the slow blinking light, that you go into slow blinking light
right,
mode.
You're not off.
And I say that to my husband all the time, that I'm in slow blinking light mode. And it's a great metaphor because it really says something. It's like, oh, I get it. I know what slow blinking light mode is.
Right. If somebody falls down the stairs, you're available. But other than that, you're kind of asleep.
Other than that, don't power me back on. I'm in slow blinking light mode. Maybe this whole month.
Daz says, she believes that none of the phone answering systems that say, please listen carefully as our options have recently changed, have changed any of their options in the recent past.
Agree. I mean, this is 100% true. Right. They have not changed their options. What is the upside of that, though?
I don't know. Right. Like, what default script somewhere in 1986 said our options have recently changed?
You know what I bet it is? Because I've seen on TikTok the woman who does a lot of those voices. And she's like, you might recognize my voice. And she's like, our options have recently changed. Probably you buy in bulk the whole package and that's on there.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I don't believe them anymore.
No, their options have not recently changed. It's a lie. And then the other one that drives me crazy, although it's not really a conspiracy theory. This just happened to me yesterday, Amy. I was on with the bank trying to change something. And you talk to three different people. Somebody at work was like, oh, what did you do with your day? I'm like, I had to change my zip code at the bank. And that was 3 hours. That was my day, basically. That was my whole work day was basically, can I change the zip code on a bank account? Mm-hmm. I spoke to 9 different people about it. And at the end of every conversation with the person who did not change my zip code on the bank, they would say, is there anything else I could do to help you? And I just don't want to yell at somebody who is just doing their job.
It's just reading a script, right? Written in 1986.
But I do sometimes find myself screaming, you would have had to have helped me at all for that phrase to be relevant to this conversation.
Right. I'm going to circle the word else.
Is there anything else I can help you with? No, there's nothing else you can help me with. You've never helped me at all.
Nate says, I think airplane mode is a hoax because they don't want you texting your friends on the plane and telling them how you're not having fun.
They definitely don't want you talking.
They don't want you talking. I am team airplane mode. Like, please, I do not want people on their speaker phones halfway to Des Moines. I don't.
Is it an oldie locks problem that I find people talking on their cell phones so unbelievably rude? Like, I was in a waiting room the other day and one person was talking on their cell phone and I was just staring at the mouth agape, like,
right,
are we monsters? Are we just gonna have, and I guess it is different than having a conversation with the person next to you.
Yes, it is, because studies have shown that a one-sided,
you talk 10 times
louder. They do talk louder because you can't hear yourself, but know that the brain of the eavesdropper, the unwilling eavesdropper, you're sitting there prisoner to their conversation, that it is
the eaves prisoner,
that your brain must pay more attention to the one-sided conversation that you're hearing, because your brain can't help you, like, okay, and so now I think the other person is saying that. Like, your brain is trying to categorize the conversation as you go. If it's just two people talking about how, oh, have you ever been to Bronx Botanical Gardens? It's really lovely this time of year. You can tune it out. But if somebody's yelling that into a phone and you're only hearing one side of the conversation, that's harder for you to not pay attention to. It's more annoying.
It's abject misery. It's abject misery. I just find, and I think that I want us as a society to agree that we don't have cell phone conversations in public, but maybe that's not possible.
Or speaker. I mean, I ride the subway a lot, as you know. The people that use speaker phones, including like to watch a stupid video, you know, from, I'm talking from like Times Square all the way into Brooklyn, like watching a tinny video on their phone.
Oh, with, monsters.
On speakerphone. I know. That's not really a conspiracy theory. That's just something I wanted to tell you that I didn't like.
No. My conspiracy theory is that all people were born to annoy me, and they're doing an amazing job.
Wow. They're all riding the subway.
Nailing it, guys. You're nailing it.
Tara Lynn says, I don't believe that the recycle bins at most stores, restaurants, and amusement parks are actually getting recycled. They put the blue bin there to make me feel better, but I suspect it's all getting tossed.
I have a very bad feeling that you can do this with almost all recycling.
Yes.
I think that the recycling is not helping. And we want to believe it is. I went to a lecture once all about this. It was depressing.
Right. Don't tell me. Like, I rinse out my plastics and I think I'm being so virtuous. And I love a nice big bag of cleaned out recycling every 2 weeks. I've been like, look at how I saved the world those 18 times. But it's just going to go in the garbage. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
I'm going to let you have that, Amy. I'm going to let you have your little sad delusion.
It makes me sad. Natalie, this is important, you guys. Natalie says, I think there are three actual flavors of original Cheez-Its, not one. Every time I buy a box, it's a toss-up between perfect, no salt, and slightly burnt. Each Cheez-It has a distinct taste, and it drives me insane. I know what she's talking about.
Wait a minute. I don't eat Cheez-It, so let me double-click on this. Before I listen to the 12-episode podcast Cheez-It investigation, is your point that every Cheez-It in the box tastes different, or is your point that it's not that you get a good box or a bad box?
No, it's that within one box of original Cheez-Its, you're going to get three different flavors when you bite in, even though they're all supposed to taste the same. They do, in fact, not taste the same. I mean, I have never broken it down like Natalie. I'm like, this one tastes kind of burny.
Really deep in Cheez-It conspiracy theories.
Perfect. So she's clearly like choosing favorites here. The first flavor is perfect.
Yes.
The second flavor is no salt. And the third one is slightly burnt.
No.
And how are they all ending up in the same box? I mean, it's better than a whole box of slightly burnt. But so it's like, it's distracting because what flavor of original Cheez-It am I supposed to get? There's not one flavor.
I guess not. But they did a study at some point. Are you aware of this? That Fruit Loops, while they come in five colors, they're all the same flavor. There's no flavor difference in Fruit Loops.
My son did a great science fair project back in the day, grade school science fair project, where he blindfolded people. He had people drink different sodas, you know, like a Shirley Temple and a this and a that. It was the same soda. He just put different food coloring in it, and then he blindfolded them. And, you know, and of course, they all thought it tasted different when they could look at it. And then they all recognized it as the same thing when they were blindfolded. Yeah.
Well, he should have taken down Big Fruit Loop because, let me tell you, it's all the same flavor.
Are you telling me there's not actual grape juice, lemon juice, lime juice? There's not actual citrus in the green Fruit Loop?
I mean, the word fruit, the term fruit in Fruit Loop is probably not, has no bearing.
Fruit Loops.
It's like when they do those studies that, I don't know, like certain foods don't have any actual, and it's, we talked about it on the podcast with something else. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Just keep it to yourself. I don't need to know that Cheese Whiz has never met a dairy product.
Oh, is that why they spell it differently? Maybe it is.
I don't know, but I know that there's constantly lawsuits where it's like, there's not enough tuna in my tuna sub from some big sandwich chain. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't go there for, if I want like wild caught salmon, I'm not going to, you know.
The chain, yeah.
The national chain sandwich shop.
Cheez-Its is spelled with a C-H-E-E-Z.
Yeah, so they don't need to have cheese. They have Chez.
Yeah.
They're not making you promises they can't keep.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, anyway.
Amy, we'll be back with even more low-stakes conspiracy theories.
Margaret, I've got a go-to baby shower gift that I give whenever there's another newborn in my life. Can you guess what it is?
Amy, three guesses. First two don't count. It's Pampers Swaddlers.
Exactly. Pampers Swaddlers keep baby's skin dry, happy, and healthy. Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better than the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance, hypoallergenic, and free of parabens and latex.
Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes are 5 times stronger, gripping mess more firmly, shall we say, and making diaper changes a breeze.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Then redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value. Amy, when I'm dehydrated, I get headaches. I get cranky and I don't feel good in general. Also, I am dehydrated a lot of the time.
Right. Because being good with the water bottle is one thing, but getting that sodium and potassium with the fluids, turns out that is the key to staying optimally hydrated. So whether you're looking to hydrate during your workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. Each box has 16 little stick packs that you can take on the go, whether you're headed to an exercise class, a night out with friends, or a podcasting conference.
And did we mention they come in delicious flavors from raspberry lemonade to cherry pomegranate? Stay hydrated with Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes. Visit sportsresearch.com and use the code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's sportsresearch.com, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate Electrolytes order. Tiffany says, gum is designed to lose flavor quickly, so you have to get more gum.
I feel like this is more and more true. These days, if I put a piece of gum in my mouth, 20 seconds later, I'm like, where can I get spit out this flavorless wax?
Well, speaking of Fruit Loops, they recently discontinued a gum called Fruit Stripe Gum. It had a zebra on the packaging.
I loved
it. This is from back in our day.
Back in the, yes, I'm getting joy chills, yes.
I was involved in a lengthy Facebook debate about the death of Fruit Stripe Gum, many people taking the position that Fruit Stripe Gum was just like wet cardboard with a hint of a flavor that lasted 8 seconds. And I was like, correct. And we loved it. Like, I don't know why it was so wrong and so right. But nobody is saying Fruit Stripe Gum was good. We are going to miss it.
Fruit Stripe Gum, that is a throwback. And so is the game Operation, which I think is still around. But remember the game Operation? Kristen said that electroshock therapied the people who played it into not seeking medical attention for minor ailments and injuries in the future.
Wait, explain this one to me. It was teaching you not to seek medical help because...
It was giving us electroshock treatments just to decondition our pain receptors for minor...
Oh, I love this right. One. It's so great. I hope Operation is still around. That was the greatest of all the games.
Yes.
I mean, what were we doing? It was electric.
You're using like little tweezers to pull out his bones.
Yeah, his funny bone, specifically. All the different parts of him.
It takes a very steady hand. And then you get like, you get like the minorest of shocks if your little tweezers touch the side.
Well, I don't think it, let me stop you there because I have to speak in behalf of Operation. It did not actually shock you. It just made a loud noise.
Oh, it didn't actually like buzz your hand? I guess it didn't.
No, it did not actually injure you.
All right, Kristen, I'm not sure I agree with you.
I mean, whoever, Mattel or Big Operation, I don't want them to shut down this podcast. It did not.
Hasbro. I'm sure it was Hasbro.
It did not deliver an actual electric shock. It just, although what did was, remember the gum? It was fake gum. And when you pulled it out, it would mousetrap on your finger. It was like prank gum. The worst.
I hated that stuff. Yes. Like everything from the back of magazines. Yeah. Yeah, and like whoopee cushions. This is one that I think everybody can get behind. Cheryl says, printer ink cartridges are programmed to become low or empty after a certain time, no matter how much ink is actually left in them. Totally true. You can print like 25 more pages when it says you need to change the ink.
I mean, there is a term for this, which is planned obsolescence. And it's right? I mean, how many computers have I had where it breaks and I'm like, oh, when was the warranty up on this? And I look and it was 6 weeks beforehand, like
72 hours. Right?
They must be planned to explode the minute the warranty is up on them. So you have to go get a new one.
Yeah. Printer ink stinks. And you know, when you put in a new ink cartridge, this happens in my printer anyway. And it's like, don't you want to align the printer? And like, no. And you have to scan a page. You have to print a color page that uses huge blocks of every color, uses half the ink before it will let me print something else. Like, I don't even need color ink. You just won't let me turn on the printer without it. So now you're using it all up on that quote unquote test page.
It feels like printer technology. We are currently in a phase where my husband's traveling for work and I can't get any of the three printers in the house to print anything. And I feel that printer technology, my two beefs, printer technology and exiting airlines. Like, we got to get better at these things, guys. We've been doing it the same horrible way forever now. And it's time to figure out a better way to get off the airplane. And it's time to figure out a working printer.
That's my low stakes conspiracy theory, is they're not really doing anything up there. That weird, like, you get to the gate and then it's like, let's just all stand around while you do whatever. They're not doing anything. They're like, let's see how long we can stretch this out.
Yeah, stall.
Right. Don't open the door yet. Yeah. What are they doing up there?
Oh, there's so much with airlines that's like, I'm afraid we can't allow you to. I was recently on a flight, got on kind of having to use the facilities, which is not a great idea. Having had three children at my age, when it's time to go, you should go. But I was like, yeah, I got kind of settled in my seat. I'll go when we take off. Then, of course, we hit hour and a half of bumps, seatbelt signs on. And then they start serving drinks. And I said to the flight attendant, sir, I am going to the bathroom. Like, at a certain point, it's just a question of where this is happening.
You've been a citizen of the plane for long enough. Right. Good citizen. Yeah,
and you're serving drinks. Like, I think the danger is not so epic that I can't get to the bathroom. And he said, well, I'm not going to say it's okay, but no one's going to tackle you if you try to use the bathroom, basically. And I think a lot of that is like, we don't need people wandering around right now. Keep them in their seats.
Right. Just sit down. Yeah. Seatbelt sign is still on for reasons. For mysterious reasons. Stacy says she doesn't think hungry, hungry hippos are actually that hungry.
That's a lie, Stacy. I've seen those things eat those pellets. They're hungry, hungry hippos.
I saw a meme. I got to do this like at our next Thanksgiving or something. It was like all big kids doing this real life
hungry.
Yeah. Like you're wheelbarrowing, like you're, you know, your brother or whatever, like picking up his legs and he's got to like walk into the center of the room and like pick up something with his mouth.
It's really funny. Google real life hungry, hungry hippos if you need an afternoon laugh. Kate says, most chapstick is actually made to make your lips more dry after 7 minutes.
It's true.
There is studies about this, that using lip balm makes your lips drier.
Do you feel like all of them? I feel like there's certain ones I won't use.
No, I think it was certain ones. And I don't think chapstick was actually implicated in it. But
Right. There
are certain things, like you train your body not to produce lanolin or whatever the thing is that moistens your lips.
Yeah, chapstick is getting the blame here, but it's being used as the, like, what's the word for the thing?
Xerox. Yeah, Kleenex.
Yeah, the Kleenex, that it comes to mean the...
It's the generic word for it, yes.
It becomes the name for the category. No, but like ones that have menthol in them and make your lips like burn a little bit, those are the ones that are really, you're just creating a lip balm dependency there. That's what you're doing. Big lip balm.
I like this one. It's kind of a shout back to fruit stripe gum. Megan says, I have a theory that no one actually enjoys LaCroix. It's just that the cans are pretty.
I don't enjoy LaCroix. I've tried it and been like, what? What am I missing?
What I end up doing is I don't get any of the flavored seltzers. And then recently, I'm not going to name names because they didn't fool me, but I got a seltzer that's like full flavored of the fruit. And it really grossed me out. It's like, okay, that's too much flavor.
Now it's too much flavor, yeah.
But LaCroix is definitely not enough flavor.
Yeah.
So where is that sweet spot? I have not yet found it because I don't want my seltzer to taste like...
You don't want it to taste like a marker. You don't want it to taste like a candle.
No, that's right. What it tasted like. It tasted like one of those like smelly red markers.
Not that LaCroix smells like either of those
Not
things.
Not in yeah, a good like way. You would think that would be delicious.
I like Spindrifts and Ahas. I feel like those are the good middle of the road, somewhat flavored seltzers.
I'm just stuck over here with my Diet Cokes. And do I really want to change? No.
Oh boy, Melanie, I don't really have an opinion on this, but I'm sure you will. Melanie says that on Jeopardy, she believes that they can control when the dilly doubles show up.
Melanie, how dare you? Jeopardy is above board, Melanie. To accuse Jeopardy of such a thing. I know why she thinks that. But could it be true? It could be. But I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Quiz Show, which you haven't because it came out like 30 years ago now.
Oh, that's a good movie, though. But watch it, everybody. Put it on your watching list.
It's a good movie, but it's about a scandal. Quiz shows actually have to abide by certain laws, you know, because it used to be that they would fix quiz shows to make them interesting. And there was this huge scandal about fixing a quiz show.
But that was giving people the answers, right? This is just, they're just throwing it to one contestant.
Yeah, but even still, you can't mess around. You can't mess around. You set the rules. You got to do it by the rules.
There's this, I think you should leave sketch where there's about a game show and there's a character named Chunky that comes out sometimes. It's kind of like the Daily Double. And except when he hits a chunk, when you hit a Chunky, this character comes out and like does something like lovable and, you know, and causes misrule to happen on the set. And it starts to happen that the guy, the host of the game during the sketch, just starts saying, that's a Chunky, that's a Chunky. As soon as somebody calls out a square and they're all Chunkies and he knows where they are because he put them there. So that's probably what gave Melanie this idea. Yeah, that's a Chunky.
Maybe this is what started this scandal.
Jamie says that Black Friday deals are regular deals. I don't know if I agree with this one.
Probably not Black Friday, but I mean, I have beefed about this before. Just tell me how much it costs. I don't want to run around and find 86 coupons. See, I think a lot of people do like that experience, but I just want to know how much it costs. I'll pay you what it costs, but I don't want to run around and have to get 96 coupons and it's $26. But wait, for me, it's $4. It's just, it makes me crazy.
Well, there are certain stores, right, who are just always, everything's on sale all the time. But of course, they're not on sale. The sale price is the price they were hoping to get and the original price was marked up.
Well, yeah.
Like, unbelievable deal. These flip-flops are $9.99. It's like, well, they never should have been $14.99. They were always going to be $9.99.
Yeah. I mean, it's marketing. There was definitely a sketch at some point about, because in New York, you have stores and it's like going out of business, you know? And it was the going out of business stores 25th anniversary. And it's like, right, maybe they're not going out of business. You just want to feel like they're going out of business.
I had a store like that in my neighborhood I live in New York City. I've lived in my apartment for almost a decade now. Anyway, right after I moved in, a very, you know, shady store with a bunch of stuff that fell off a truck, it looked like, spray painted on a sheet, going out of business. This was how they literally opened their doors, with a spray painted sheet that said going out of business, even though it was their first day open. And that was their sign. That was their sign for the next several years.
Well, they were probably right. They were going out of business someday.
Very, very slowly, aren't we all?
Suzanne and I are going to have major beef. Big Dishwasher is behind all the you don't need to rinse your dishes rhetoric because they know it will break your dishwasher faster. Suzanne and I have no beef. She's on my team. I thought when I first read this that she was saying it's okay to not rinse your dishes. The dishwasher, hear me once, people, especially if you're going to spend time in my house. The dishwasher is for sanitizing dishes only. It is not for cleaning dishes.
On a scale of 1 to 100, how clean are the dishes when they go into your dishwasher? Like 80?
96.
Are you using soap in the sink to rinse them off?
Yeah, of course. They're clean. The dish round is for sanitizing only.
So you wash the dishes before they go in the dishwasher?
It just extra cleans them. But I am a super sniffer. I have an incredible sense of smell and taste, which is not always good. But I can be like, something's wrong with this. Like if something's cooked in like day old oil, I'm like, oh, I can't eat that. Like a banana that is 2 days away from being perfectly ripe, I can't eat it. I have a very strong sense of taste. And I'll tell you that when I go to use a mug, I can smell that it was run in a dishwasher that wasn't clean enough.
Well, that's the problem. If you leave all the food, I mean, I'm definitely more like 60% clean is good enough, but then you got to go in and clean the filter, the dishwasher, which isn't pleasant. So, you know, you take your pain.
I don't want any part of it. It's like if you were rolling around in mud outside, you wouldn't just throw a muddy pair of pants directly into your...
I would if it was a heavy duty washer.
Washer with clean clothes and expect things to come out clean. It's gross.
Okay.
Sanitizing only. So I agree with you, Suzanne. Big dishwasher.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll be back with even more low stakes conspiracy theories. Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is lumen.me, lumen.me, and use the code Fresh at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode. Amy, you know me well enough to know that my daily power breakfast is... toast with peanut butter on top.
Toast with peanut butter. It's also, by the way, one of my favorite power breakfasts. So we agree on that thing.
We were recently together and we shared some toast with peanut butter. And I'm going to tell you, we used Hero Bread. It adds even more protein and fiber to that combo without adding any more sugar.
Hero Bread has remade the carby, empty calorie bread products into versions that include no net carbs, 0 gram sugar, and fewer calories, plus more protein and fiber, while still being super fluffy and delicious. I was not sure that that particular combination was going to be possible, but Hero Bread has figured it out.
Yeah, this is one I'm glad they let us try. It's like, it really tastes good. I've been trying to add more protein to my diet, and I would have thought that a hamburger rolls was not the place to do that, Amy. But all of Hero Bread's products, from rolls to tortillas to croissants, oui please, offer protein and fiber, 0 to 1 grams of net carbs and 0 grams of sugar.
Start your Hero Bread bundle on their website and get 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code MOTHERHOOD at checkout.
I like this bread, people. It's hero.co and code MOTHERHOOD for 10% off your order of Hero Bread. And now, why moms don't bother with conspiracy theories.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Bigfoot is real.
As the mom of teenage boys, I have enough big, loud, hairy beasts walking around on the regular. Finding yet another, possibly imaginary one in the woods is of little to no interest for me.
We are being implanted with 5G chips so the government can keep track of us.
Okay, listen up, government. I make breakfast, then do drop-offs, then work, then laundry, then pickups, then cleaning, then dinner, then bedtime stories, then ill-advised Netflix binging. Literally every single day. There is no need to track me. Just go ahead and take me off your list.
The moon landing was fake.
If it's not too much to ask, can the folks who faked the moon landing please come and fake my kids' next several birthday parties? They do good work. That thing looked real as heck to me.
Disney created Frozen to hack the Google algorithm and distract people who were searching about Walt Disney being frozen after his death.
See, Disney really did us wrong by getting the song Let It Go stuck in all our heads for a full decade. I mean, I don't really need any more reasons to hate that movie, but thanks for trying.
The Illuminati run this planet.
Can the Illuminati help me find my son's missing soccer cleats? It would really free up some time for me and would help save me like $125. Thanks, secret overlords.
This has been Why Moms Don't Bother with Conspiracy Theories.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast. Jamie says no giveaways are actually picked at random. I mean, this is going back to the Daily Double theory, but this is probably true. I mean, you see that kid up there with the fishbowl, you know, pulling out the winner at the holiday party? They're, come on, they're fishing around for something. They're throwing the game one way or the other.
Yeah, I wouldn't say none, but I would say I cast a very gimlet eye on the grab bag.
Right.
In general, a grab bag, I don't trust it as far as I could throw it.
MT says, I believe that berry companies put one rotting berry in the middle of every package to make the others go bad more quickly, so you have to buy more berries. I mean, I never thought about this, and MT, I'm so mad. You're right. That's exactly what happens.
Wow. I just faced this very conundrum this very morning, like a bad berry that was ruining the bunch.
Mm-hmm. If you I've started putting berries in glass jars, like old like tomato sauce jars. If you get them out of the, you know, plastic clamshell things they come in and put them in glass jars, they will last like 2 weeks. They last so much longer, but you got to get the one rotten one out of the middle first. Take that, berry company.
Oh, why are you giving me more things to do? That's not nice. Sophia says, I think Costco parks fake cars in the parking lot because I've never seen the amount of people inside match the amount of cars in the parking lot. I'm going to tell you that I worked at a big chain restaurant for 1 or 2 years. And this was true, that we definitely always created like scarcity. It was supposed to be that there was always a line outside to get into the restaurant. And so even when the restaurant was empty, we held the line. I mean, they did. I mean, of course, the waiters and waitresses were screaming and being like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Like, we want to wait on tables and make money. But they definitely, we just recently saw this. I was in Chicago walking down like, what do they call it? Miracle Mile, I think.
Yeah.
Like the fancy part of Chicago, Michigan Avenue. And there were two different restaurants that had a line outside. And then when you looked inside, they weren't that busy. And I thought, they want people to think that their store is so popular that there's always a line to get in. And then what they'll tell you is, well, we just sat a bunch of people, so we don't want our staff to get slammed. We have to, you know, seat people quite calmly to make sure that the staff doesn't get overwhelmed. Lies. All lies.
I have a related restaurant theory, which is that they always say it's like a, you know, 15, 20 minute wait without even like looking, that that's just what they say, right? Because if it's shorter than that, then you'll be like, you told me it was a 5 minute wait and it's been, you know, 12 minutes. And if it's longer than that, then you'll just leave. So they tell you the amount that is just long slash short enough that you're willing to wait and it buys them time.
That you're willing to, I believe that's true. I will say, having worked in a lot of restaurants, the science behind the wait time, you might as well just like throw bones on the floor and try to read your fortune from them. There is no science at all to the wait line, because what ends up happening is people have a check on their table and they stay for another 40 minutes.
Right.
And then other people look like they're halfway through the meal and they're like, we have a play to catch. Just bring us our check and we'll stand up the second we're finished eating. It's very hard to know when people are leaving a table.
Maybe they should ask you. I mean, that would be considered very rude and say European companies like, how long do you want to sit here? But this just happened to me. Just a week or two went out to lunch with my sister. She made a reservation. We get to the restaurant and like, and on time, P.S. And they were like, oh, well, you can have the table, but we're going to need it back in an hour. And we were like, you know, okay. She had to get to school pickup and weren't going to be that long. You know, cut to, it's like an hour and 15 minutes later, and she does have to get going to pick up, and we cannot find somebody to bring us the check for love or money. Like, they just sort of said that. So there you go. They don't know what they're doing.
This is a COVID thing that they kind of introduced, and I think the restaurants wanted to keep it, which is you can have this table for 90 minutes. How that was related to nobody getting COVID, I can't even remember what the theory was. I guess the idea was like, what, if you have COVID, the longer you stay, the more people you're going to give it to. But it made no sense, let's be honest.
Right.
But I think some restaurants, I still will see on a reservation every once in a while, like, you have a 7:30 reservation for 90 minutes or something like that. And I think restaurants would love to have that because they can't do the flip side of it. You know, they can't say to people, you got to leave now because we've got people waiting. But as a, just a general public service announcement from a restaurant person, please look around and don't linger at a table if it's, you know, 8 o'clock and you've eaten already. Just go somewhere else. Get dessert somewhere else. Go to a bar, have a drink. Get out of my table.
If there's a real or a fake line outside. This is what was funny. Like, when they needed the table back, nobody was bringing us the check. And P.S., the restaurant was empty. Like, this idea that they needed the table back for some, you know, reason of another person needing it. It was not coming to be.
Special reason. They were rude for no reason. Yeah.
It was like the front of the airplane again. What are you talking about?
If I linger at a table, I almost always say to the server, do you need to turn this table? Because I'm like, and they'll say, no, you're my last table of the night. I'm like, okay, then we'll sit and relax for a minute. But if you're waiting for another shift, I'm getting out of your hair.
Jamie says that the top sheet on a kid's bed is a scam. Brought to you by like Big Linen.
Oh, I haven't used
Big Sheet Company.
Big Sheet. I believe that the top sheet plays no role in my life at all. I am a comforter on top of a bottom sheet person. There's no room for a sheet in my life. I don't interact with a sheet.
This goes so opposite to me, but like, how often do you wash the duvet cover on the comforter?
I don't know. Once every 2 weeks.
Once every 2 weeks. Okay. Yeah. That just seems like a lot of work to wash. I'd rather have a top sheet than take the comforter cover off and then put it back on the comforter cover. Like, that's the worst thing that ever happened to me, is getting those covers back on.
I don't have a comforter cover. I just stick the whole thing in the washing machine. But my husband does use the sheet. So we do keep a sheet on our bed. But if it was up to me, my bed would be bed sheet, comforter. I don't need a sheet. I don't like the way it feels. I like the comforter cozy on me, not a sheet.
This makes sense. But if you had a duvet cover that you had to wash with any regularity, then you'd be like, I need a top sheet. Because then that makes it like, we wash our duvet covers like once in a while because there's a sheet between you and it. So it doesn't need to be like, you know, your whatever comes off you when you're sleeping that I'd rather not think about is not on the comforter.
I don't know. I don't get grossed up on my comforter. It feels permanently clean. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Like, it's just touching my legs. It's not like it's getting up to any business on there.
Like, the hard part of making a bed is a fitted sheet. And just the top sheet is like, sure, I guess. But people who hate them really hate them.
Yeah. I mean, if it was up to me, I would not interact with a fitted top sheet at all. But my husband, I run cold and he runs hot. And so he likes to be under the sheet. We just split. He takes the sheet. I take the comforter. Bada bing, bada boom. We're done. Happy marriage.
Shelley says that Mother's Day is in May in the United States because of all the plant growers and florists, presumably. I mean, maybe.
I mean, all that's true. And also all of our major holidays coincide with the equinoxes. And that's also true.
Or unless they were completely made up by greeting card companies, right? Like Grandparents' Day. That's not
a real holiday. But I mean, Christmas, Easter, Hanukkah, all the major, Passover, all the major holidays are co-opted equinox celebrations that we now celebrate as religious holidays. And yes, Mother's Day. I wonder if Valentine's Day has something like that, like why it happens when it does.
It must.
Maybe it's just because it's the middle of February and it's like darkness and everyone needs something.
Yeah. St. Valentine's, like, I'm not really sure what candy, you know, in parties in second grade had to do with wearing red. Had to do with me, yeah. But thanks, everybody.
He's like, but thanks, everyone. That's exactly what he's saying, Amy. Well, friends, we've cracked the code on a host of very, very low stakes conspiracy theories here. We didn't even get to the fact that Dippin' Dots is not the ice cream of the future. Although it's not, let's be honest. Never was going to be. And indeed, it is not the ice cream of the future.
It's not. Nope. Stop trying to make that a thing. Nope. It's not. If you love this show, if you love What Fresh Hell and you want even more of it in your life, consider signing up for What Fresh Hell Plus. When you sign up for What Fresh Hell Plus, you can keep listening to our podcast wherever you usually listen. You don't need a new app or a new thing, but you get all of our episodes ad-free plus monthly bonus episodes. This month's was about how we travel. Next month, I mean, it's going to be, I don't know what. It's going to be something. We really do non-parenting things, as if this one was so parenting related, but like really non-parenting related, super fun episodes. So we'll put the link in the show notes. You can sign up for What Fresh Hell Plus in just a couple of taps. It's $4.99 a month, $39.99 a year, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, friends. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.
So long.
Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is? Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.